election year, and election years are often full of dumb things and things that make you sad and things that make you want to throw other things outside of window-shaped things and that sort of stuff. But there's an old chestnut that we really haven't brought out in a long time that I think is maybe causing me to lose a little bit of sight of why I do the show. The show, by the way, is Ask an Atheist with me, Sam Alvey, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842, toll-free nationwide. Joining me today, as usual, is the lovely Becky. How are you?
Rather lovely. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, I keep calling you lovely. Well, maybe there's a reason for that. And joining us for the first time in a bit, Robert, how are you?
Hi, Sam. Hi, Becky.
So the old chestnut that I'm referring to is that people are better than their religions. Is that, you know, we've got all these old religious books and stuff like that that say, you know, hit your wife with a stick roughly the size of a burrito you can get from Memo's down the street. You know, stuff like that. But we don't do that. We don't stone people anymore. Well, at least outside of ISIS, we don't stone people anymore. But overall, my point is that with all the ridiculous rules and all the ridiculous anti-human stuff coming out of politics nowadays, I have to remind myself, which is why I keep bringing this up, that people are better than this overall.
People are better than their books and what their books espouse and what people that hew to their books religiously, no pun there at all, would have one behave.
Right.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I've run into a lot of times where people tend to be a lot better than what's written in their books.
Yeah.
You know, we accuse people of cherry-picking from their Bible. If cherry-picking is what keeps you from stoning your wayward sons, then please keep cherry-picking.
Yeah. Keep on keeping on as far as that goes, yeah. But cherry-picking is a thing that, you know, we all have to be careful of, because we talk about some seriously crazy religious stuff on this show, but that doesn't mean that, and that's what we talk about because we're talking about newsworthy things, but that doesn't mean every religious person is like that. And sometimes I feel like I give off the sense that I think every religious person is an insanocrat nut that doesn't pay attention to reality. Much like Cardinal Robert Sarah, the prefect of the Congregation for the Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments, called trans people demonic and gay unions are a danger to children during the annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast in D.C. last month. Lawmakers from Congress, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, were in attendance. He also claimed that the promotion of LGBT issues results in the death of God. He called gender ideology a demonic and deadly impulse and damaged little children through inflicting upon them a deep existential doubt of love.
Now, I must clarify that the prefect himself is not accused of inflicting damage upon little children, but that he believes that these issues and these ideologies...
I will say with these ideologies that he is, in fact, inflicting damage upon little children.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
That the work of the Catholic Church is not exactly kid-friendly.
No, not traditionally, no.
So, in this case, he believes that it is, in fact, embracing LGBT folks that is causing the true damage to little children, instilling them a deep existential doubt about love. You know what I think instills a deep existential doubt about love? Is when your congregational leaders, when your parents, when your family members, when your community says that you are possessed by demons for feeling the way that you feel, for loving who you love. That's something that I believe would truly, you know, affect a child and their concept of what love means. They say, oh, we love you. We just think that you are filled with demons, but we love everyone. Didn't
we
you know?
We think you're killing God.
I mean, as someone who literally as a child was told that I killed God,
right,
I mean, you
I was
knew I
say,
grew up Jewish.
I was about to say, this is a libel you're familiar with, is it not?
Right. As little Rebecca Friedman, you know, you might have gathered that I grew up Jewish. You know, as someone who literally was told, oh, you killed God, didn't you? Your people killed God. And for some religious people, even though the Catholic Church has apparently forgiven all Jews, you know, forever for having apparently killed Jesus. There are some people who are taught.
I think you put it a little bit more diplomatically.
Right.
Yeah, probably.
But there are some people who are still taught, or, you know, small children that misunderstand that All Jews in existence are responsible for the death of Jesus.
Do I go on with the story or do I take a minute to unpack this? I just sort of assume that if you're Jewish, at some point somebody has the "you killed Jesus" conversation with somebody somewhere. But we've never actually had this conversation, you and I.
Yeah, you know, it was more of encountering in the media or encountering in sort of a public square someone saying that all Jews are responsible for the death of Jesus, and, you know, not just the ones that lived way back then or may have lived way back then, mm-hmm. not the Aramaic-speaking ones, but... Wait, does he mean everyone? Yeah, he means everyone. What, me? But I'm Jewish. Yeah, he thinks you killed Jesus. What? I'm like 8. I'm 8 years old. I can't kill people that lived 2,000 years ago, still under the impression and assumption that there was a man named Jesus who definitely lived 2,000 years ago.
Right.
Well, wasn't that the Catholic doctrine for centuries, though?
It was. It was
up
very
until
much.
Vatican II.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they wrote a line back and forth. That was one of the points of theological contention, even within the church, because...
Is it just those Jews that lived at the time, or is it all Jews who
killed
Jesus?
Yeah, but I mean, that was the basis of the blood libel and,
right.
you know, and the various genocides that come from it.
Right.
So, to say that the Catholic Church is wholly responsible, I think... puts like the blame only in one place where it shouldn't be. I mean, hey Lutherans, what's up?
Yeah, I was going to mention Luther there.
But yeah, I mean that's definitely a part of it. But to go back to this, I'm going to do one of my favorite things. One of my favorite things is challenging religious people on their theology.
Right.
So this guy's saying that somebody's causing the death of God.
People who promote the gender ideology.
Yeah, people who promote an ideology that would have people being able to define their own identity as causing the death of God. Doesn't their catechism suggest that their God is beyond life and death and time and space and matter and energy? And
yeah, something seems out of whack there.
And he's bigger on the inside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard for a gender identity to kill such a being.
Does it mean anything? No. But I love it when people are reaching so hard to make this... otherwise innocuous expression of identity sound like Darth Vader, that they reach for something that's beyond the stuff that they're supposed to know, being, I don't know, a bishop or something like that.
Now, congregation, please open your hymnals to "Our God is an incredibly fragile God." I think you're right, Sam.
Our God may have settled in travel.
I mean, when someone who is purported to be all-powerful, all-knowing, as you said, beyond the realm of death and life and in all existence,
yeah.
to say that someone wanting to use the bathroom of their choice or cut their hair short or wear a dress at his prom, you know, I mean, that's the thing that is killing God, not you know, maybe... Genocide wouldn't be an affront enough to God.
Apparently not.
Or, yeah, maybe the spokespeople of God doing things that they shouldn't ought to do with children. That's not killing God. That you know, that's a cheap shot. But when you're saying stuff like this, cheap shots is what you get.
When the mouth of the Catholic Church is saying it at that.
Well, is this guy officially the mouth of the Catholic Church?
He is.
No, he's the prefect for the Congregation for the Divine Worship and Discipline of the Sacraments. I'm reasonably certain in D20 that's an epic class.
I think you're right there.
I love these. Can I get a title like this? Can somebody? There are two organizations that were really great with coming up with huge titles for people, and that's Communists and Catholics.
Oh, man.
I love what they do. I love their work. They're great people. Some of them.
So this is really interesting because it wouldn't have been, you know, that huge of a deal if he had just said this in general, if they had gotten together on a little conclave and proclaimed this, because we know that Catholics, that the Vatican, at least, is very much in favor of prescribing, you know, gender roles, of maintaining mother, father, child families,
yeah.
things like that. But no, he said this at the National Prayer Breakfast in D.C. This is where you have our elected officials that are in attendance. This is where when this same prefect for the la-di-da-di-da says that how simple of an issue could it be to merely use the bathroom of one's biological gender, he has a roaring standing ovation.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just one particular religion that's doing that. It's the acclamation and the lauding of a supposedly holy and esteemed man saying and confirming what these congressional representatives already believe.
And this is why I opened up with the people are better than their religions thing before going into this story. Because, honestly, this is ridiculous. And I know most Catholics in the United States are going to take some issue with what he said. There's going to be Catholics who don't, specifically the folks who don't like Vatican II. But this is just ridiculous. And this is a person bankrolled by a religion. And here's part and parcel why I'm an atheist and why I'm an atheist activist. Because if this stuff wasn't going on, I'd just go to the bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying there.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has filed a lawsuit against the United States Congress for refusing to allow an atheist to give invocations. FFRF President Dan Barker asked to deliver an invocation to Congress after being sponsored by Representative Mark Pocan of Madison, Wisconsin. Despite meeting the requirements of the House chaplain, such as having a valid ordination and addressing a higher power in his prepared speech, Barker was denied on the basis of his atheism. According to the lawsuit, invocations delivered to Congress have been 97% Christian, and no atheist has ever been invited to give an invocation. So, what you have here is Bishop, not an American, if I remember properly, comes to the United States, says, members of your country are causing the death of God and are destroying love among the little childrens, and they get a standing O. An atheist who is an American and comes from the fantastic town of Madison, Wisconsin, wants to give an invocation because you have those.
Right.
And he gets knocked out and he has to have a lawsuit.
Well, this is definitely a case of religious discrimination.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just cut and dry. There's no way around it.
It's sort of a fractal religious discrimination, because you allow people to come in and talk about religious discrimination, and then you don't let people to come out and talk about, oh, I don't know, equality and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, and you might know a thing or two about this, being someone who has given a great many at this point. You know, you're kind of racking up your secular invocations at the local and the state levels.
I've given a couple, yeah.
Well, I remember getting incredibly lost inside the Capitol building and going to the wrong room to see your invocation at the state Capitol.
Yeah, apparently you saw someone in some sort of costume. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's like, I know what Robert looks like. He's not a yellow bird guy.
Was that one of the prefect's underlings?
Hey-o! But you've also given some invocations elsewhere in Washington.
Yeah, Oak Harbor was my first one. Then I gave Marysville, and then Clark County.
You did Clark County.
I did Clark County.
Right.
On your suggestion, by the way.
Well, I have a little bit of a... It's all right if we have a little fight... bonanza.
Yeah.
And then the In God We Trust sign comes up.
Yeah.
And then, well, you know, if they're going to have that kind of game, then maybe let's see if they do a humanist invocation.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember the invocations that they were having in Clark County when we were down there for the In God We Trust sign debacle.
The first one, she was
pretty okay.
Yeah, it was. She wasn't UU, but she was like one step above UU.
Yeah,
almost like Church of Christ.
But then the next guy was like,
The next guy was like full on evangelical.
Yeah, you guys are terrible. Everybody shouting.
Read biblical passage, I think, or something like that. And I'm like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah. Well, Becky has presaged the idea is the path I was going, and so we're going to go to the break. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. When we come back, we're going to continue talking to Robert about the awesome stuff he's doing regarding, invocations and the ridiculous, horrible motto our nation carries like a disease. Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists, with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org.
The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. Come celebrate life with us. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking and hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. You can become a member of the Humanists of Washington at humanistsofwashington.org. You'll get our quarterly publication, The Secular Humanist Press. Check out meetup.com where you can be part of our monthly Seattle dinner and our Heathens Do It Better breakfast. Humanists of Washington.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. So when we started up this show, I introduced Robert just as Robert because he's been on the show and I like to use first names because, hey, we're all friends here. But Robert is, in fact, Robert Ray. He's the founder of the Original Motto Project. He's here today to talk to us both about the organization itself, which is a great one, and the upcoming rally we've been sort of flogging here happening this Wednesday, is it?
June 29th.
Yeah. June 29th. I have this whole calendar thing over here. Yes, indeed, Wednesday. Wow, I got it right for once. Yay! How you doing, Robert?
I am doing well.
Fantastic. So tell us about the Original Motto Project.
So the Original Motto Project, boy, I'm not the only person that does that either.
Me too.
Fox yeah. News got that for us. By the way, Original Motto Product. So I bought the website, and that's now our store.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, it originally spurned off an idea I got from you.
No, I walked right into that one.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
So after the invocation at the State House, you gave me the idea that maybe we should take it locally. Because I had tried the whitehouse.gov petition,
yeah,
which went horribly bad.
Does anybody, I don't know, Becky, does anybody actually look at those? Sometimes
I think
I
have to get 300,000 signatures, and then apparently someone lower down in the White House will
ridiculous.
Address it and say, yes, we have seen your petition.
Yeah.
But what is the petition for, actually?
So
is it for changing our motto?
So the way I wrote the petition was to have the president ask Congress to change the motto, because the president can't change it. It has to be done through Congress.
Right.
So that was at least to get him to talk about it. Would
right,
have been
right, right.
Step one. But after that failed and I talked to you about it and you suggested we do local, that nice long drive home gave me all these cool ideas. And I said, you know what? There are so many, there's this group in God We Trust America Incorporated that goes to city councils.
Yeah.
And I said, why don't we go to city councils at the same time? So I started looking up things and figuring out that I can do searches to find out agendas because they're always on an agenda. And that's how the Original Motto Project was born, was an idea to oppose In God We Trust America.
So what's the, I mean, the focus of the project is because, I mean, we've both been fighting the In God We Trust America people for a while, but
right.
What's the ultimate goal of the organization?
The ultimate goal is to change the national motto from In God We Trust to E Pluribus Unum, the English alternative, out of many one, or... we recently decided that we should start pushing We the People.
Oh.
Because that's the first lines of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And when you have people like In God We Trust America and the people that are trying to, you know, institute it and defend it, it says, oh, this is inclusive for everyone, right? Often have we heard, you don't have to believe in God to have In God We Trust be inclusive of you. You know, God could be anything. We had Pierce County Council Chair say, you know, people believe God is any number of things, the spirit, the earth, marijuana. So you believe that atheists think that marijuana is God and that includes us?
That was my favorite.
There may be some out there, yes.
Yeah, probably.
But we the people, that is definitely that inclusive.
I was going to say, I'm kind of partial to E Pluribus Unum because of the sort of the historical context. Now, obviously, We the People is a different one, but it doesn't have the affront that In God We Trust has on it.
Right.
Why the shift, or why the inclusion of this potential as well?
We found, for the people who don't realize, we also oppose In God We Trust on police cars.
Yes.
Because that's a huge deal lately. There was a police department, Austin... Oh, I forgot the state.
Was it in Arkansas or Mississippi?
Yeah, Austin, Arkansas, who put We the People on the back of their police car instead of In God We Trust. Yeah. And we said, that's an awesome idea. Let's talk about that and let's start using that as a secondary idea.
So we actually discussed that a few weeks ago when it came up because it was just so astonishing. Do you know how that actually arose? Because in the face of this extremely prevalent push for In God We Trust stickers, why would a police department, you know, say that? Do you think that they were approached beforehand with In God We Trust?
I don't think so. It didn't seem to be that way. It seemed more something more organic from that police department. He said that he wanted something that would actually represent the people. I think he saw what was going on in the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And said, we need to show that we actually include everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of what we do is when we oppose it, we make sure that the world, as much as possible, knows that this is going on.
Right.
So I think he caught a hold of some of those, saw a lot of the controversy that goes along with it, and said he really didn't want any part of that.
As far as controversy goes, you do a lot of your outreach through Facebook and your awareness building through Facebook.
Yeah.
How many Facebook pages of different sheriffs have you actually been banned from now, Robert?
Five.
Five?
So there is a countable number then.
Yes.
It can fit on one hand.
Well, I've been banned from 7, but I've been reinstated on 2.
Did they give you a reason for reinstating you other than, sorry?
One of them, which we had a lot of fun with, he said that he only banned us temporarily to stop the conversation.
And that should be justifiable. Okay. And the conversation that you were having, did it, like, you know, threaten violence on anyone? Did it include cuss words? What is the extent to which this conversation needed to be halted immediately?
From what I understand, his phone battery was running low. At one point, I have actually heard that said that, you know, we're halting this conversation because my phone has been blowing up for 3 days.
Okay.
Well, don't do dumb things, maybe.
That's basically what we told them.
Turn off push notifications?
Yeah. That's basically what I've told them. I said, hey, don't advertise this if you don't want us to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
You're advertising these things. You're telling people you're going to do it. You're mm-hmm. clearly wanting to the attention. And then when the attention isn't all how great you are, suddenly there's a problem.
Yeah.
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 So, honestly, the In God We Trust sign thing is one of my favorite arguments and sort of debates that we've had. I mean, we've talked about we just passed the 5th anniversary of the end of the world, I think.
Right. So yeah. May 21st, Harold Camping's predicted apocalypse.
Last month. And so that was a fight that was a lot of fun. We had a great party with it. I got translated into Vietnamese. It was awesome. But I like this fight.
Right.
I have my reasons for liking this one. They don't all make sense. But one question I get a lot is, why does this matter to you? It seems so insignificant.
Right. I actually get that a lot, even from atheists.
Yeah. No, I mostly get it from atheists.
Right.
Yeah.
And it matters because, this is our take on it, it matters because it is the basis for all other religious intrusion into our government.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they have to say, well, our motto is In God We Trust. That's a religious statement. Why can't I put other religious iconography in government?
Right.
So that's why I oppose it so heavily.
So my reasons are twofold. One is it's the working model of religious government debates. It's everything. It's like an intro to psychology class where you talk about the squid nerve model or something like that. It's all of the extraneous things are removed. It really is just a debate about whether or not the government is supposed to be religious. And so you have very few places for dominionists or people who would be dominionists if they knew what the word was to hide. So what I see is a lot of people's true colors coming forth. And even when we lose, we still win.
Exactly.
Because we get a bunch of people saying, well, those atheists, they have no reason to be Americans. And if they don't like us taking their rights away because of their religious choices, they should leave the country.
Right.
And there's nothing to take it away. Another thing is I just like really absurd arguments and conversations, and this thing seems to spawn them in a way nothing else does.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the more colorful things you've actually gotten, Robert?
One of the most common reactions is, you don't live here, why are you talking about this?
Right.
Meaning, why are you talking about a police car in Northern Florida or in Pennsylvania?
Right. You don't live anywhere near here. You're not from the state. Why are you talking about this? And my response to that is, there are people who do live there.
Yeah.
Who are afraid to speak out about this. And so I come in because I'm not afraid to speak about this. I represent those people.
Yeah.
Right. And the other response is, we all live in this country.
Right.
Where we're supposed to have a separation of church and state. And we should be able to voice our opinion anywhere in the United States about it.
Yeah, I mean, the other one I come with is, yeah, I'm not from here. Neither is Captain McSignface down in Sacramento.
Yeah, we've got Jacqueline Sullivan.
That's it.
Who started the In God We Trust
America. So why is it okay to listen to her, but not okay to listen to me, unless there's a political or religious thing going on? Surprise!
Correct. Well, and she's not the only one, by the way.
Oh, there are more now?
There's a U.S. Model Action Committee out of North Carolina.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know about
that. There's
those.
A much smaller one out of Arkansas that pushes mainly around a town of, I don't remember what the town is, but pretty small.
You've got the American Legion that gets its fingers in everything.
Now, that's a new one because the Pennsylvania State House has just approved the In God We Trust.
Yeah, that's a news story. Shall we pause the... Actually, why don't I bring the news story in, and then I'll just hand it right back to you.
Yeah.
All right. The Pennsylvania House passed a bill that would allow the phrase "In God We Trust" to be posted in schools. The National Motto Display Act, which was passed by a vote of 179-20, is designed to allow schools to post the nation's motto and the Bill of Rights in classrooms. Representative Chris Dush, the bill's sponsor, insists the intention is not to force the motto, but only allow it to be posted. The bill states its intentions is to increase the students' understanding of American historical documents. Representative Rick Saccone, a proponent of the bill, said the motto could unite a very divided country, saying, whether you believe in God or not, it's here to inspire us.
Well,
Robert?
I don't exactly find that phrase very inspiring. Well, it has inspired me to do some things.
Yeah, it's inspired us to do stuff, just not what you think. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, this was very troubling. This bill was kind of brought forth through the American Legion, who is very much in favor of having In God We Trust in school buildings.
Yeah, they've fought that a couple times now.
Yeah, especially in Pennsylvania.
Right.
I remember a few months ago they were talking to a school board in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Over this exact same thing.
Yeah.
And so they decided apparently to take it to the state level. And this isn't the only time that I've seen this. I actually saw this in Maine.
Something that's just really puzzling to me about this is that regardless of what state it's in, it's saying this is part of our historical documents, and so we're going to have a bill that allows you to post things as if a bunch of atheists were saying you cannot actually acknowledge that these things exist.
Well, it's not a historical document.
Well,
yeah.
There's something interesting about In God We Trust in Pennsylvania.
Okay, all right.
I think it was former Governor Pollack. Was at the time Treasurer Secretary in 1864. when In God We Trust first got put on coins.
First got put on the coins, and then, if I remember, eventually a law was passed that said once In God We Trust was put on a coin, it cannot be removed.
Yeah, that's much later on, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but yeah, that's why Pennsylvania is so into pushing it, because they have a historical figure that was instrumental in getting it started.
Because other than that, Pennsylvania is totally bereft of political figures on the American stage.
Exactly.
Completely absent. It's like Pennsylvania isn't even there.
Getting like some ringing in my ears. there might be a bell going off somewhere.
I believe there's a treatment for it. It costs $100.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this bill in Pennsylvania plays off the 2011 bill that was passed by Congress.
Okay.
Which stated that In God We Trust should be displayed on government buildings and all this other stuff.
And this was in 2011. They occasionally just reaffirm the national motto
that's what it was.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing else in 2011 that Congress could, you know, worry themselves with.
Well, this is back into professional wrestling politics, where they get to put a box up with the face of an angry atheist on it and then pretend to body slam them.
Right.
And the folks at home love it.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that's going to unite us? And this is the thing that divides us as a country?
Right.
And I don't think it unites the country. I think it unites the religious people against others.
Well, it doesn't. It also divides religious people against other religious people. I mean, just think about that. How many Buddhists do we know that are against this? How many Hindus do we know that are against this?
Well, you and I both know from the arguments that we've had and the civil tete-a-tetes we've been doing with different county governments that it's always not Christians, but a very specific type of Christian on one side.
Right.
Who have certain churches with infrastructure and hundreds of thousands of dollars behind them versus pretty much a loose confederation of other citizens with atheists kind of doing a lot of the talking.
Right.
On the other side, but I'll be honest with you. I think a couple of the times, the both times that I've done this here in Washington State, I don't think atheists or humanists were even in the majority.
No, and a lot of times it's not.
Yeah.
Of course, your most vocal ones are going to be the atheists, the humanists.
That's what we do.
But invariably, whenever there is comments against this in city councils, there are a couple of religious people saying, you know, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Their arguments are either, you know, we're a secular nation and we shouldn't be promoting even my God.
Right.
Or you get the sacrilegious point. You get those that are saying you can't do this because it's offensive to my God.
Right.
This is sort of going back to Teddy Roosevelt back in 1906 or 1908 that said this actually, by putting In God We Trust on money, takes away God's, you know, splendor and majesty by bringing it down to something as profane as our coinage.
Right.
imagine that going over now with any kind of Republican in office.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt was not your average current Republican.
Well, yeah. The meaning has shifted somewhat over the decades.
True.
So this is a growing organization. You're being you're getting a lot of media attention that in recent months.
Yeah, we're getting more.
Yeah. So where would people go if they want to join the fight?
Okay, so our website is originalmotto.us.
Hey, hey.
Yeah. You can find us on Facebook at Original Motto. Yeah. I happen wearing a shirt.
Yeah, he's got a great T-shirt that goes with it.
Yeah.
I need to order one. I don't have one.
We may have to fix that. and if you are into Facebook groups, we have one for the United States, for the entire country, and we have one for every single state.
Is it being run by people in the states at this point?
Yeah.
Really?
Sort of.
Okay.
Some of the bigger states, yes, I have people in those states that are running the Facebook groups.
Uh-huh.
Some of the smaller ones with like 12 members, I'm still running it technically.
Okay. But you've got members, you've got local members in every original motto project in every state in the union.
Yeah. Well, there's like two or three that don't have any members, like Vermont or Wyoming. No, well, Wyoming actually has members.
Okay. Hey, Vermont. I know you're out there. Get on it. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. And go to the break, and when we come back, not only is he part of the organization, or the head of the organization. There's also a rally here in Washington, which we haven't even begun to talk about yet.
<laughs> 48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is it's coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
0. For your consideration, we present convention and its subject, the nominee, ANNEXradio.com, now on iTunes and Stitcher.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show in the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is the United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio vs. the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at SeattleAtheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 844 Skeptic. 844-753-7842. So we were talking about the original motto project, not product. The product is where you go buy their t-shirts and other fantabulous items.
Yes.
But there's also here in Washington State going on this Wednesday, June 29th, a rally.
We've been excited about that rally for a little while.
Well, excited, terrified, little bit of both.
I agree with you completely.
So tell us about this rally.
So this rally was a brainchild of mine back in January when I found out that Franklin Graham was coming to our Capitol to talk about religion and politics, specifically why more religion should be in politics.
Ah, can I do my Decision America tour? You know, you guys could totally use that if you want. Yeah.
Okay.
How many states has he been already?
Steal that. I don't know.
Because it's already started. He's gone trekking around in his bus.
I want to say he's hit between 10 and 15. I've heard some of his stuff. Wow. Go check it out. It's cool stuff. he basically wants to have more religious people on school boards and specifically evangelicals on school boards.
Right.
Because, you know, we got to fight evolution.
Because evolution is terrible.
Yes. he wants more religion in politics in general. He wants more evangelicals running for office.
Right.
So when I heard about this, I made a pledge that when I found out when he was coming to Washington, I would organize some sort of rally, even if it was just me standing there with a sign.
Okay.
So, and I did.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit more than you with a sign.
I certainly hope
so. It's beginning to look that way. I honestly... So I love the concept of political rallies. I think, you know, getting visibility, especially at a capital where the politicians actually work, I think that's key.
Yeah.
And there my understanding ends.
Okay. So the idea behind it now, since it's being sponsored by the Original Motto Project, is to promote E Pluribus Unum, or We the People. We're calling it We the People Rally.
Right.
and to make sure that our government officials understand that we're here and they can see us.
And by we, I mean we're talking about folks that might have that antipathy towards either Franklin Graham's proposed, you know, agendas, or really the motto of "In God We Trust,"
right.
Or is it "In God We Trust" as that as being emblematic of all of the religion that interferes with politics?
Right, because that's kind of how I feel that that phrase does represent Americans. Is it, it represents religious intrusion, however it comes in into our secular government.
And Franklin Graham has to make some sort of impact.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
After, you know, being the son of Billy Graham.
Yeah.
So in the last segment, we were talking about that sometimes the people that are most opposed to this, or most vocal or most strident, might not be atheists, but religious folks. Would this rally be a place where we would have religious people that could be in favor of We the People?
Absolutely. In fact, I plan on having a section where we the people can come up and give like a 1 or 2 minute speech about why we need a better motto.
Right. There's always been two things that I like about this sort of work. You know, I in the last segment we talked about when we go to the county governments about, you know, why we do it. But the other two things that are side benefits for me are we always discover one or two non-theists who didn't realize that there was a community around them.
Exactly.
But the other thing is we always manage to have a few conversations with religious people who, you know, are kind of surprised that when we say, no, we're advocating for a government that has no position on a religious matter, and we don't really, and we're not advocating for a government that says you are wrong for being religious. They're actually surprised and really glad to work with us,
right,
when they find out that's actually what we stand with and believe.
Yeah, that's another reason why I decided to do it in conjunction with Franklin Graham's rally, because
right,
I was hoping to get some cross conversations going.
Right.
And hopefully they become productive.
Well, you know, I think at this point, Robert, it's not going to be just you with a sign.
Right.
What are our numbers looking like for the counter rally, for or not for the counter rally, but for Franklin Graham's rally? Are there people that show up to these things, and can we expect that in someplace as irreligious as Western Washington?
Absolutely.
Churches on buses.
Churches on buses. You're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah.
I would imagine a couple hundred people show up for a Franklin Graham rally.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if I remember right, it's slated to have roughly 500.
Okay.
So, and I wholly expect to see that many.
Right. Any idea about what we're expecting at this point?
I would like to see between 50 and 100.
I think we could do that.
Can we beat that? What kind of signs can we have?
Anything.
You're a knob.
Well. Anything that is semi-respectful.
So not that.
No, probably not.
Okay.
So challenging and poking a little bit is okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I'm not going to limit what people say, because I think freedom of speech is the most important thing we have.
I would say you have the fire in a crowded theater clause, where nothing to incite
right
terribleness.
Right. So,
yeah.
So, and no weapons. I told the state that we would have no weapons on site.
Okay.
So they were happy with that.
Yeah. That's a rule.
Yeah, that's a rule. No weapons. Don't bring your guns, people.
Fantastic.
Yeah, basically, as long as it's not vulgar or inciting violence, bring your signs.
Okay.
I love it. Should we be decked out in t-shirts? Should we be wearing red, white, and blue?
Wear whatever you want. I'm probably going to be in a bow tie, because that's what I do.
Bow ties are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably going to wear what I usually wear. Actually, no, I might actually try and look a little bit more presentable for this one. Which brings me to the other side of this one, is that there are going to be speakers at this particular rally.
Correct.
Who do we have?
So we've got this really cool guy named Sam.
Okay, we'll get to that, but other than that.
All right, so I recently just got Bob Seidenstecker.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, he agreed to come on. We've got Travis Simmons,
mm-hmm,
the big funny.
Yeah.
I've got Damian Marie at Hope.
Okay.
And I've got Lilith Starr of the Seattle Satanic Temple Seattle.
Yeah, I used to call it Dinner Theater Atheism, but I think it's more and more becoming the Atheist Cool Kids Club. It's like they're doing
the Satanic Temple.
Yeah, they're doing really cool stuff.
They do some
and
really awesome stuff.
I love the way they're doing it, and they've really sort of changed my position on a lot of it.
Yeah,
And especially now that we're talking about people who are part of the Satanic Temple, part of that, you know, that whole cultural nose tweaking thing.
Right.
For the best of purposes, running for political office.
Yep.
In the form of Steve Hill.
Yep.
And, yeah, so I'm going to talk, and like I said, I'm a little terrified.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't worry too much, because of Clark County?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, so the story there is, there's a picture of me on Facebook, or I was on the news, with a bullhorn going, "Hey, we're not horrible," or whatever the heck I was saying. I don't even remember. I was going by some sort of personal algorithm by that point.
Right.
In order to hide the forebrain, which was just in terror. Because it's one thing to talk in front of a bunch of knobs, and it's another thing to talk in front of, I don't mean people, I mean like literally
the buttons at your
knobs and meters and yeah.
Yeah, I get the same thing.
And talking in front of a bunch of people. But I apparently did fairly well.
Well, you certainly did better than I did.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
We're having a self-face-off.
Yeah, I suppose. So what I'm saying is that I might not be terrible, so you should go see. Go, yes. So,
I'm excited for it. You know, what I'm hoping also is there's going to be school that is out, you know, and there aren't any college classes in session at that
right.
time. And so it's a real great opportunity for people to come down. I know it's in the middle of the week, but
yeah.
there's an opportunity for huge involvement.
Right.
And we might have to consider, so there's a lot of people probably in Seattle who don't have ready transportation who might want to.
Right.
Who might want to go. Is there carpooling and stuff like that
yeah,
being organized?
I tried to set up something on the website
okay.
for carpooling, but it didn't work out so well. It was very frustrating.
But I imagine the Facebook group would be a
Facebook,
great...
So, yeah. So if you go to the event site for Facebook, we can probably set up something there.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's important that we make... You know, like I said, we don't have the infrastructure that religious organizations do, which makes them... Well, if you look at the statistics, make them in activism look bigger than they actually are.
Right.
But in activism, the louder you are, the more attention you get.
Right.
And a lot of the atheism community can be pretty attention phobic when it comes down to it.
That is true.
In a situation like this, it absolutely kills us. We need to be we need representation here, and we need organization representation, and we need to send a message to Washington State politicians. Maybe you don't think we need them here on the western side, but even in the short time that I've lived here, well, okay, another 8 years that I've lived here, I've seen local politicians throw non-theists under the bus for the purposes of a vote.
Is it under the church bus? The rented church bus?
Perhaps under the church bus.
One of those bluebird school buses that's been painted white. And
then on the eastern side, there's a very different story, and one that they, you know, people in eastern Washington would probably be happy to tell you at some length.
Right.
And it's a very religious area, and I don't like Arizona, frankly, every time I'm there.
We're not completely out of the water here. I mean, I just found out about two New In God We Trust in Western Washington.
Where at?
Shelton, Washington, and what's the name of the county that it's in? I forgot. But,
okay.
So,
but
that
in
Grace,
Western
Grace
Washington.
Grace Harbor County?
Not Grace Harbor. It's right beside Thurston County. I don't remember the name of it. I think it starts with a C.
Okay.
But yeah, those are two newest ones.
Klamath County?
What?
Klamath County?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it back up.
All right.
But I actually went down to Shelton a couple weeks ago and talked to him.
Okay.
Basically, got ignored. Thanks.
Yeah, that happens.
Got ignored, but hey, you're visible. I mean, there is a digital record of a humanist, of an atheist, saying this doesn't represent us. This, you might think it unites American people. It actually divides American people. It divides your constituents. It divides us who aren't represented by this statement, In God We Trust.
So this Wednesday, June 29th, at 11 a.m.?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. And, okay, I'll be honest with you. We're pre-recording this one because the show's on hiatus. But, we'll, you know, if you want to get down there, hit the website, originalmotto.us. You can go to their Facebook page. Get stuff organized. We need to do this. This is important to... This is the state. The state has, what, one in four people who are non-theists.
Right.
And we are practically unrepresented.
Right.
In Washington state politics. And this is one of the ways that gets changed. So it's absolutely key.
I'm excited. And you get to meet these, you know, cool folks here.
Yeah.
All righty. So, for example, Where did it go? Where did it go? Yay. The town of Warren, Michigan, stopped an atheist from setting up a table in the Capitol building during the National Day of Prayer. Doug Marshall has set up his reason table every Thursday and Tuesday since winning a lawsuit against the town. City officials claim that the atrium of the Capitol was reserved in case of rain, which forced the ceremony planned for outside to move indoors. A prayer station that regularly sets up in the building was also barred on the day. Marshall claims the city violated his rights to free speech and that the city is targeting him for being an atheist.
I'm a little iffy on that since the other prayer station was barred as well.
Well, if it's the regular prayer station, the regularly scheduled prayer station was barred, except that the National Day of Prayer was allowed to take place in it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I see that point, but...
Well, it sounds like they want their National Day of Prayer to be exclusive.
Of course they do.
People don't want to know that this whole National Day of Prayer thing, which brings illustrious personages like Roy Moore to Tacoma, Washington, keeps people out. Surprise, yeah, making things about prayer rather than lawmaking and democracy keeps people out. Hey.
Yeah. You might expect another visit from Roy Moore since he's probably going to lose his job.
Well, he's losing his job, but isn't he running for governor right now?
Oh, yeah, he may
right
be running for governor.
Yeah, I think he might be busy. I hope he loses.
He might have out-of-state campaign stops. Who knows?
Yeah. So, wrapping up, some good news. The Birmingham Temple in Farmington, Michigan has established the Center for Secular Humanism inside its historic structure that welcomes a variety of groups aligned with the values of secular humanism. The humanistic Jewish congregation is inviting groups such as the Satanic Temple, whose unorthodox views and presentations sometimes lead them searching for venues to host their events. The center, which features small conference rooms and larger social spaces, is open to anyone, but events cannot be dangerous or incite violence. Rabbi Jeffrey Falick and Center Director Suzanne Paul wish to make facilities available to a greater number of groups committed to skepticism, humanism, and atheism, stating that it benefited both the nascent groups, I got that right? Yay! And their congregation.
I think it's great. I mean, you have a congregation that has the space, and they say, if we're not using it at all times, let's make our space open. When you have something like the Satanic Temple that wants to have an event, that wants to have an unveiling of their Baphomet statue or what have you,
yeah,
you know, and you say that all these municipal halls are saying, oh, no, we can't possibly host the numbers. Yes, it's the numbers that's the reason for why we can't
sure,
host you.
Sure, it's the numbers.
Oh, no, the statue has too high of a clearance. Whatever excuse they make up.
Would those numbers be 666.
Something like that. So, you know, when you have groups that are facing discrimination that you can't exactly pinpoint on, we are discriminating against you and we don't want you to rent our space, you know, it's incumbent upon us and it's beneficial upon us to say, hey, we've got the space, rent from us, use from us. I think that it's a great idea.
I agree. I wish we had some more of that around here because finding space to have events and things is really, really difficult, and in a lot of cases, really, really expensive.
That is one of the long-term goals of Humanists of Washington,
right?
Which is something I need to work on. But yeah, event space, places to get together, places to organize—it's incredibly key for a community. And when you're a religious organization, you got all that stuff. You tend to have that stuff built in because you have these generational churches. But now, for not necessarily the first time in the United States, but recently, you're getting people who are not of a particular faith who want to get together, you know, once a week or twice a week or have events and stuff like that. And there's just no infrastructure for them. And speaking as somebody who works on the community level, it's a real pain in the butt. And so it's really nice to see a humanistic Judaism organization to just, yeah, space for everybody, yay. Not that I'm kind of thinking that space might have been available before they made it official.
I think so, too, but I don't think that that's a problem. When
no.
you rename it the Center for Humanistic or for Secular Humanism, it allows you to say we are open to all people. We are open to people that need a space. And, you know, it doesn't have to be the Satanic Temple. It could be the retired ladies red hat, purple hat book club. You want to,
right.
You know, I mean, if you believe in, you know, individual autonomy of individuals, if you don't, if your organization doesn't espouse a supernatural, you know, explanation for things, then I can't see how they would be excluded from the Center for Humanistic Judaism. You want to have an environmental group that gets together? Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I remember when I was looking for just meeting space up in Everett, in Marysville. It was incredibly hard to get.
Yeah.
So I would, that would be what they've done is absolutely amazing.
No, I think you make the point. Is I wanted to say, you know, it's like I'm pretty sure that space may have been available otherwise if they had the real estate. But to say explicitly to take a part of your structure and say this is for everybody, you know, not just for our particular stuff, but literally for everybody, I think that's really forward thinking, and I applaud it.
I think that it also can provide a really nice space for folks that may be having to look at renting places in churches. We do know that churches and synagogues do rent out their spaces for other groups and community organizations, but that doesn't always feel...
We do know that?
Yes. I mean...
Okay, we know that.
Yes. For instance, the Secular Jewish Circle of Puget Sound typically rents in a number of two churches, rent space from churches. But
right.
Here's the thing. When you are someone who maybe has left religion or who has been victimized by religious people and religious rhetoric, you don't want to necessarily step foot in a church. And if your public libraries have to cut their hours and you can no longer use those spaces, it's wonderful to have a religiously neutral place to be
right.
able to meet.
Yeah.
Have we had Jeffrey Fralick on the show?
We have. Yes, we
yeah,
have.
Yeah, that was some time ago.
It was. We were still airing on different radio stations. And wasn't
he on the West Coast at the time?
I believe so. It was before he was named the head rabbi of the Birmingham Temple.
I think it might be time to have a conversation with him again about this. How about you?
I'm always up for community building conversation amongst humanists.
All right. So original motto product.us is the where you buy the cool things, yes?
Yeah, original motto product.com is where you buy the
cool stuff. Okay. Yeah. And original motto.us.
Yes.
For it is a patriotic thing.
Yes, it is.
Is the website of the original motto project, and you're also available on Facebook.
Yes, we are.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Robert.
Thanks.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you, Sam.
This is Ask an Atheist. You can give us a call at 844-753-7842. You can email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Our website is askanatheist.tv. Our Twitter is askanatheistwa. Hey, we got a Peggy's challenge, even though we didn't talk about it. See you guys next week.